Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Baba Basra Daf Mem Test, Baba Basra 49. And the Gemara has already established that even though in general we say that if somebody dwells in a property for 3 years, they have established a chazaka, a right, that's equivalent to a contract that they have lived there. So cheska shaloshanim is considered to be a valid claim. However, that chazaka does not apply between a husband and a wife. So if a man has lived in a property for 3 years, that's not a proof that his wife has sold him that property. And the reason is because the assumption is that she is letting him use the property, and therefore she realizes she does not have to object to say it's really my property and not his. So the Gemara has established that, and the Gemara proved that that's the case. But now the Gemara says, well, from the fact that our Mishnah has said that there's no chazaka for the man if he lives in the woman's property for 3 years, but that also implies that if he has proof, either through witnesses or through a contract, that she sold him that property, then that is a valid claim, and now that property is his. Haraya yesh, that if he has a proof, that would be a valid proof and valid evidence that this property is now his. Gemara questions that and challenges that assumption, because we have a concept that the woman could always claim, Nachas Ruach Asiti Labali, that the woman could claim, really, I didn't intend to sell this property. I only did it in order to appease my husband and to make him happy. And so therefore, I sold it. But it was a sale under tremendous duress, and I didn't intend to do it. And I didn't really mean for it to be sold. And indeed, there's a Mishnah that supports this challenge. The Gemara cites a Mishnah from Maseches Kit in Daf Nun Hey, where the Mishnah there states, Lakach min ha'isha v'chazer v'lakach min ha'ish v'chazer v'lakach min ha'isha mekecho bato. And what this case is referring to, if there is in every marriage, though, there is a woman who is entitled to a ksuba, and in that marriage, the man mortgages property to the ksuba. And so if the man would go and sell the mortgaged property, that property would be in the hands of the person who he sold it to only until the death of the husband or the divorce of the marriage and the separation of the marriage. However, if the woman would waive her rights, then that person who bought the property would have it in a final state. And so therefore, the Mishnah says, let's say the man sold that property, which he has mortgaged to the ksuba, and then comes along the buyer and goes to the woman and says, will you waive your rights to this property upon the termination of the marriage? And the woman says, okay, I've waived the rights. We see, says the Mishnah, that waiver that the woman gives is invalid, mekecho bato, and the reason is because we say, nachas ruach asiti labali, that she only did it not because she really intended to waive her rights. She knew if she didn't do it, it would cause tremendous strain in the marriage, and so therefore she waives her rights to this land, to this property, even though it's really hers by the marriage agreement. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, and the Mishnah says, that such a waiver is invalid. And so here too, why would we say that if the woman has sold the rights to the field to her husband, that it's a valid sale? Why don't we say mekecho batal, because she only did it in order to appease her husband. She just did it to keep him happy, but she didn't really intend to sell it. So the Gemara answers that by saying this concept of nachas ruach asiti labali only applies in three types of situations where we say that the field is directly mortgaged to the ksuba. But in general, we don't extend it. So if a woman wants to sell another property, which is not really connected to the ksuba directly, then she has the right to do, and we will not void the sale. Going back to the question of why we say nachas ruach asiti labali and we void the sale, this presents a contradiction, because we've been discussing the last couple of days that if a sale happens under duress, it is a valid sale. Tulayu zabina, that if a person forces somebody else to sell it and they sell it, it is a valid sale. So how come in the case of a woman, in this case of a ksuba, we would say that if she waives her rights under duress, it's not a valid sale? So there are basically three approaches that I saw. One approach is the approach of the Ritva. And the Ritva says there's a very easy distinction between the two cases. In the case where the sale happened, and we say it's a valid sale under duress, that's because the person who sold it was actually given money. And so since he was given money, then he has waived his rights by the fact that he took money. That's the approach that the Ritva says. And here in the case of the woman who has waived her rights is not actually given money. And so she's not given fair market value. So therefore, her rights are not waived. The Rashbam gives a different approach. The Rashbam says, no, that in the case of the woman, the pressure is so great, in the case of, not of the woman, in the case of the people who are selling it under duress, to Layuv, Zabina, 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 that in such a situation, the pressure is so great, so that he really wants to get rid of the sale, and he wants to get rid of this property so badly, and so therefore the sale is a valid sale, because he willingly wants to free himself from this stress. But in the case of the woman and the waiver, the Rashbam says the pressure is not as great, and so therefore, counterintuitively, since the pressure is not as great, therefore it's not a valid sale because she really doesn't want to get rid of it. In an entirely opposite approach, the Granat explains that in the case of the woman, the onus is evident the whole time that she is being forced. It's very clear to the buyer that she's very clearly being forced to do this, and she doesn't want to do this. And so therefore, it's not going to be a valid sale. Whereas in the case of the person who sells it under duress, true, they were pressured. But once they came to that point, they were no longer under pressure anymore. Whereas with the woman, the pressure is there all the way through. And so therefore it's an improper sale. And it says some of the Meforshim, this is why when Hashem offered the Torah to Bnei Israel, it says Ko Tomar LeBeis Yaakov, the Kosagel of Bnei Israel. The first it was offered LeBeis Yaakov is a reference to the woman, because if the men would have accepted the Torah first, then they could have pressured the woman. So the women accepted the Torah first, and they did it before they might have been pressured by their husbands.